For that. So we're going to go into the message and spend a few moments on this. We had quite a prayer sharing time. God had a lot of things on people's hearts, so praise the Lord. Let's carry those things with us as we go forward. The message is good stewardship is always generous. And we're going to be looking at that from 2 Corinthians 9. There's a passage there about that, but there's much more. It's really about a relationship between us and everything that is. Here is kind of a little child holding a globe. Relationship of us and the earth. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it. But it's also a relationship with ourselves and relationships with our money, our resources, you know. So in this passage that we're going to look at, we are encouraged to be generous, knowing that all of our resources come from the Lord and truly belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And they're reciting this passage from Psalm 46. It's a psalm anyway. And we are given the privilege to be good stewards of nature, ourselves, and our treasure. And becoming a faithful steward is a process. Of course, it's discipleship. It's how we follow the Lord. In the 2 Corinthians passage we're going to read, Paul reminds us that it is our decision how and what to give. But the Lord wants us to be in a lifestyle of relationship and partnering with Him, with God. Stewardship is about a partnership with God. And we're to grow. God is going to work in and through us. We're to serve, allowing God to use us, offering up our lives as a sacrifice to Him. It's part of our stewardship. And it involves giving as well. Managing God's resources, which are our finances, our money, but also involves our gifts and our talents, our abilities, those things. And the Lord reminds us to do all of our giving, our serving, our growing with open hearts, to be generous. Give generously. It's the key component. Generous. Free in giving or sharing. Noble, open-handed. Being noble and open-handed. That's what generous is. Being noble and open-handed. Noble is, it lifts you up. It makes you a person who is received well. And we need to be bold in this. But in our faith, we need to trust in God as we are giving. I give myself away so Jesus can use me for His purposes. And remember that God is the one who provides. He gives us the resources we need to be able to be generous. I don't know if you realize this slide comes from that picture of the story of the widow's mite. The widow's mite is about this widow who gives just her pennies, you know, a little bit. She didn't have much to give, but what she gave radically with her whole life. She trusted everything to God. She gave everything she had to even buy anything with. And Jesus said her offering was worth more than somebody who put in the $1,000. Because the $1,000 giver had many thousands to give and wasn't giving that really significantly, while the widow was trusting everything to God, just saying, "You're taking care of my tomorrow. I'm just here to respond to you. Respond to God today." Giving freely is an expression of our thanksgiving to God. So remember that as we go into prayer. Dear Lord, thank you that you have called all of us into this ministry of stewardship, given us that responsibility, and help us to be in relationship with you in it. Lord, we pray that this passage may open it up to us new avenues, new ways of understanding ourselves, and help us to deliberate and determine within our heart how to give and be a better giver and be involved in this process of taking care of the world, ourselves, and everything in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the passage is here, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. "Remember this," says Paul, "whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So in this passage, on this page, just hold that a minute, sowing generously, that generosity is part of it. And decision, deliberate, make it a decision. Go home and pray about it. Go think about it for the next month. How can you give and where can you give better? And what is the Lord giving into your hands to do? And there is this way in which God will provide what you need as you go down the road, trusting Him. And then the passage goes on. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Let me stop there a moment. That's a quotation from Psalm 112. And in that psalm, it describes the righteous person. And a righteous person is trusting God. He fears God, and he's obedient to the Lord. And in the midst of their lives, they're free givers. They're giving and helping those who need, and so reflecting God in his giving nature. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So God wants to multiply. That's just God. That's the way he is. A sunflower is beautiful. But you know how many seeds there are in a sunflower? There are literally hundreds. It's just amazing, the multiplication of God. You know, think about the feeding of the 5,000. Not much food there, but Jesus' miracle multiplies it so that it feeds everyone. He just says this is a principle of how God works in the world. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now Paul's especially giving thanks to the Corinthian church. This is a personal reflection of the Corinthian church being generous and helping him, because Paul knows that his mission, which started in Israel but moved to Cyprus and then went to Turkey and then went to Greece and finally ended up in Rome, and he went throughout that whole world planting churches and building churches, and he just loved leaving behind generous givers. And he knew that the work of God had to be based on generous giving, which is responsible and responsive to God. Now there's one more passage here. Two more slides. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. That flowing of thanksgiving is so important to giving. Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. So they're praising God for that, you know, they're confessing Jesus Christ and they're witnessing to him by their good stewardship, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. They're really doing well, the Corinthian church. And in their prayers for you, praying again, one church praying for another church. You know, we're in Guam praying for churches in Guam, praying for the church in the United States and Canada, this Christian Reformed Church, praying for all of God's work all around the world, Trans World Radio transmitting, praying for the church in China, praying for the church in Taiwan, in Japan. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you, a grace of giving. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God. Paul illustrates it so well, this principle of gratitude in the giving. So, in order to illustrate this a little better, let me go back to a very obvious example. Now, not every one of you knows this. I mean, not everyone has a license to drive. Some people may be dreaming about this, but does anybody remember their first car? Was this your car, Kim? I think it was maybe before your time. I knew people in Michigan who had cars like this. They'd have the antique cars out there, and they'd say, oh, yeah, I remember riding in the jump seat in the back, the rubble seat. That's an old Ford Model A. And if you ever did own a car, do you remember the first car you owned? Did you take good care of it? Did you wash it? Did you polish it? Did you change the oil regularly? Did you make sure you had good tires on it? A car is a big responsibility. I just on that line, I had a car. I was fixing the tire. And I drove to my brother's house in Detroit. I was on my way to Michigan. I was on the highway in Detroit with five lanes of traffic, and my tire fell off. It fell off. I went sliding into the median. God saved me, you know, at that point. God's grace was upon my life. They couldn't believe it. But I hadn't put the car, the wheel on properly. So it's a big responsibility. And if any of you are aspiring to drive, remember this. Keep your lug nuts tight. And then, you know, once it's in good running order, and maybe this is your dream car, maybe it's not, but you want to get to your destination safely. You have to be a good steward of your car. It's a stewardship issue. It's an issue of having it, responsible for it, and then you have something to use, and the usefulness of it is huge. It makes you, allows you to live. And on this island of Guam, it's very much a car culture. You know, when we got Marilyn's car, it was a nice donation of hers, but it has rolly windows. And, you know, we told home, we said, you know, phone home, we got rolly windows on this car. You know, I've never had rolly windows on our car. We haven't rolled the windows on our car since we owned them, since 1980, whatever, you know, 1990. And then someone said, you know, are all the cars in Guam like that? I said, no way. We have brand new Lexuses, and, you know, we've got high-end cars. We've got all kinds of cars, lots of electric windows. But good stewardship of a car. That's one example. Now, the amazing thing about our humanness, being human, is we like our things. We like them. They're useful. We really treasure them. And taking care of them is second nature to us, or it should be. If we're not learning the lesson well, we hope everyone does. And if there's one thing I want to impress in your hearts about stewardship, it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility. You have to be saying to the Lord, help me be a good steward. And it's communally based. You know, we have a responsibility and relationship with the world, the earth we live on. We have a responsibility to ourselves in terms of gifts and ability and our time and our resources and all that kind of thing. And we have a responsibility to one another. And it includes money, it includes finances, but it's much more. It's a large subject. If you are a manager, you have to set a high standard. It's part of managing, you know. Manager comes in and he's got to work with his workers, and they've got to be really early on the job. They've got to work late at night. They have to keep the rules, the managers. You have to create an atmosphere in which people can succeed. It is taking care of the things which are in your care, and every one of us is a manager. This is the important thing to remember. We are all managers. We are all having things to take care of. This stewardship idea is huge, and in here you have a lot of the ideas involved. You got to be a good steward, you got to have confidence, you got to have influence, you got to, you know, be able to network with others. You want to have some vision and some strategy for your life. Whatever comes into your possession, whatever comes into your jurisdiction, whatever is part of who you are, you're responsible for it. You are a steward or manager or keeper of that. A steward, a manager, or a keeper of that. And the idea is very simple. If you are in charge of the light shining on the clifftop into the ocean, you are the lighthouse keeper. And you are the steward of that lighthouse, and you better make sure it is working when it grows pitch black. And you better make sure you have enough to keep that light burning through the night so that any ship trying to find its way to a safe harbor can depend on your lighthouse. You are a steward, a manager. And that light is your light shining out of you. It is a light shining in your community. It is, you know, it's a practical thing. of taking care of people, taking care of your environment, taking care of what you've been entrusted with. And the concept of this can be carried over in so many ways. The question is before us is, how do we become better stewards? And I hope to help you learn a little bit of that, but above all, it's a concept of being responsible to the Lord. And how you do it, there are many ways of answering that, and there can be many long preaching on those lessons. But you know, this reference, how to be a good steward, Luke 12, it's about the man who has an abundant harvest. He wants to build bigger barns. And what he's being called to do is not build bigger barns, but to be generous with what he has to the Lord. It doesn't mean you can't have enough to need a bigger barn for it. It just means, what is in your practice? Are you just self-isolating? Are you shutting yourself off from the world? Are you building walls around you? Or is this all part of your giving and your being generous and able to help? I'm going to propose this morning that a true biblical concept of stewardship directs our responsibilities towards three areas. Creation. Be a good steward of God's creation. Very important. Be a good steward of yourselves. Like this is promoting a course. Are you being a good steward of your potential? And maybe just of your actual talents and gifts. And then, of course, it includes how to be a good steward of your money. It is about finances. We bear a responsibility felt very strongly because we believe God created the world. And he placed us in the world with this responsibility for it. So our response to our environment is important. Our land, our water, our air. We are responsible to ourselves, our given natural given abilities, and the spiritual gifts we've been given, and all of the resources that we have, we're responsible for them. But it's based on this idea. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So Paul ask us to use the guidelines in 2 Corinthians 9 to guide us in our giving. Give generously. It will be good for you. God blesses the action of giving generously because through this type of action, you honor God. Make your giving deliberate. Involved in this is the principle of the tithe. We in the church have set a standard, you know, 10%. Give 10%. That belongs to the Lord. Give him the first fruits. Give him the best of what you have. That's the lesson of Cain and Abel. But Israel always had to bring offerings to the Lord. Thank offerings were built into their worship of God, into the temple. And you know, it's carried through. It's not that if you're unable to give 10% at this time, God's not going to judge you for that. We are free from being under the law. We are living freely in Christ. But let me tell you that, in a sense, the tithe idea is that it's 10%. That's a marker. How can you surpass it? How can you surpass it in your life? It's all about giving to God the very best and giving to God everything that he's asking of us. And it's, above all, built on a partnership with God. Giving is not a debt you owe, it's a seed you sow. And that's a beautiful concept. You know, it's not saying, grudgingly giving to God something. It's about saying, God has entrusted me with some resources, I'm going to sow it so that God can bring the multiplication, he can bring the increase. And I'm back to the slide about the stewardship in living a lifestyle of partnership with God. You grow with God. You serve with him. You give with God. It's all in relationship to him. When you give well, you show that you acknowledge that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And you trust him to provide for every need. As he provides for your needs, he empowers you to be a force for good in this world. In whatever you do, it's more important to be faithful in the small things before you are faithful in the large things. Let me illustrate. Before I was a pastor, you get this title, you know, pastor. I have been, in my life, a newspaper boy, I've been a janitor, I've sold Kirby vacuum cleaners, I've washed dishes in a coffee shop, I served milk and beverages in a college cafeteria, I was a nurse's aide in a senior home, I've served the counter in a butcher shop, I've installed roofs, I've served as a secretary. I have been all of these things. So I know where you are. You know, don't look down on anything you're doing. None of it is unimportant. God honors all of it. And work well at it, because it can lead perhaps to something else down the road. So we should not neglect our land because God gave it to us. He's calling us to use our gifts for Him. But this care for creation is something important. When we care for creation, we share in its great purpose of giving glory to God. So if we do bad farming practices, you can end up with the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. They farmed this deep, rich soil of the prairies so badly that it became dried out and just started blowing away. Or we can pollute our air to the degree that we come down with asthma. We can't breathe it anymore. You've seen masks on people in Beijing because the industry of China making things for the world had polluted the air so badly. And we don't want to pour so many pollutants into our rivers and our seas. And some of the river pollution, for example, there's a river in Cleveland, Ohio that became stank so bad, it became so polluted it lit on fire and they couldn't put the fire out. Care for creation is part of our stewardship. It is a really fundamental part of it. And it contributing to it is going to make this a better world. As you can see here, someone swimming in the ocean with all the plastic floating around. And we can do better with plastic. It's amazing. In Guam, you don't get given a plastic bag as you come out of the store. In Michigan, plastic bags all the time. It's not that hard. And someone has challenged us. I was just listening to some speaker this week talking about Christian discipleship is involved in caring for creation, being mindful of it, being aware that we can do very, very well when we take care of it well. You know, it's as simple as this. Hillary and I walk every morning, and there's a street in Guam. There's a fair amount of trash on the side of the roads. But here was a guy, a volunteer guy, stopped in his car, and he's got his rubber blue gloves on, and he's picking up all the trash in that road. And he filled a few black plastic bags with it. That little bit, I was so grateful for it, thankful for what he was doing. And it can help. But above all else, we have also been given time to use. We all have time, our time to give. We have talents. We have passions. We have gifts that all need to be managed well so we can contribute to our people in our circle, our families, to our neighborhoods, to our culture. And Jesus will use us as we're giving ourselves away. It should be sustainable, your giving. You shouldn't burn yourself out in the giving. It should be something you can do within the means of your resources. It's sustainable. Do it with purpose and intention. God gave to me so I can give back to God. God gave Himself to us, His Son. We respond to the Son, Jesus. We name Him as our Savior and our Lord. God is going to call us to be giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. We are a living sacrifice to God. We are here living and breathing, and that is what we do. Now, finally, again, I'll bring us back to our bank accounts. We have bank accounts. I hope that you get one early. You know, it's really good practice to give a child a bank account when they're 12. They start to learn to be managers of that, whatever funds are coming in. It's so funny. I've met parents who sometimes say, "Oh, this kid, he's 15. He used to go out and mow lawns and shovel driveways in Montreal, and he would have more money in the bank than his parents would." Be good stewards of the money coming in and the money going out. The money comes in, the money goes out. Be a good steward of it. It's not giving just in the moment, but it's giving for a long time. It's a giving that's sustainable, as I said. It's not just a 100-yard dash. It's learning to be a good, generous giver for the marathon of life. And that generosity, the Lord will certainly be willing to sustain it. He wants us to receive the blessing. In the Bible, God's people are always mandated to give the very best as a tribute of thanksgiving to God, acknowledging that our world belongs to God and He has put us here to flourish in it. Let us use our gifts to truly glorify God. Let us remember that it's a community-based thing. This statement is wonderful. Being involved in the well-being and advancement of one's own community is the most natural thing to do. The author is Clarence Clemens. But it's also a fundamental part of what we're doing as we're giving. We are always bringing blessing. This is really a paraphrase of saying we're bringing blessing to all that is around us, the things that we touch, the influence we have. Let us always be in a posture of giving generously so that we can be truly good stewards. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you've challenged us with this concept of stewardship. Thank you so much that in 2 Corinthians you remind us to give cheerfully, to give with deliberation, to plan it out, Lord, but also to remember to help those who truly have needs. And help us to remember how abundant you are in your provision, Lord, and help us to always be obedient to our call, to be faithful in our responsibilities towards this world that belongs to you, our responsibilities towards ourselves and using ourselves well in your service, and our responsibilities to all the things we've been given, including our finances. Lord, we thank you that we can reflect on these things this morning and be blessed and just trust you for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Irene will lead us in a song of response.